Hey, Lizards, Gizmo here. I wanted to share some of the cigars we'll be smoking in April and May, so you can smoke along with us if you'd like. For Cubans, we've got Monte Cristo Especialis No. 2, San Cristobal de la Habana El Principe, Cohiba Siglo 5, H. Upman Half Corona, and Hoyo de Monterey Double Corona. And for New Worlds, we've got E. Picarillo Allegiance in Sidekick, Davidoff Late Hour in Robusto, Aging Room Cuatro Nicaragua Sonata in Maestro, Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust Sin Compromiso Selección No. 4, and the Davidoff Winston Churchill in Bellicoso, with much, much more to come. Have a suggestion? Email us, hello@loungelizardspod.com. That's hello@loungelizardspod.com. Our podcast is supported by the Fabrica 5 Cigar Company. It's a handcrafted and artisan story built with a strong foundation by two legends, Rob Isla of Friends of El Habano and Bon Roberts fame, and Cuban master blender Hamlet Paredes. The entire line is crafted by Rob and Hamlet and refined with feedback from a hard-nosed tasting panel, the Friends of El Habano forum, and smokers like you. You can jump on the FOH forum right now and post reviews and comments that go straight to the powers that be. They're already fantastically priced, but exclusive to Lizard listeners, Fabrica 5 is offering 10% off Puro Desnudo Ninfas N7, 5 packs and 50-count bundles, using promo code FAB5, that's F-A-B-5, right now at Fabrica005.com. Plus, worldwide free shipping from Miami on all orders over $125 US. This offer only lasts one more week. Again, use code FAB5 for 10% off Ninfas 5 packs and 50-count bundles for the next week at Fabrica005.com. That's Fabrica005.com. You must be 21 years of age or older to order Fabrica 5. No boxes, no bands, no bullshit. And now, let's get into the episode. Welcome to the Lounge Lizards podcast. It's so good to have you here. It's a leisure and lifestyle podcast founded on our love of premium cigars, as well as whiskey, travel, food, work, and whatever else we feel like getting into. My name is Gizmo, and tonight I'm joined by Pooba, Senator, Rooster, and Bam Bam. And our plan is to smoke a cigar, drink some scotch, talk about life, and of course, have some laughs. So take this as your second formal invitation to join us and become a card-carrying Lounge Lizard. Plan to meet us here once a week. We're going to smoke a special edition New World cigar tonight, share our thoughts on it, and give you our formal Lizard rating. We'll also chat about a variety of other things for the next hour. So sit back, get your favorite drink, light up a cigar, and enjoy as we pair Dalmore's Cigar Malt Scotch with Davidoff's 2021 Chef's Edition. So this cigar is a wacky blend. It's a hybrid Ecuadorian wrapper, a Mexican binder, and a Dominican filler from four different regions, which I thought was pretty wild.
You said Mexican, Dominican,
Ecuadorian,
and wrapper. Ecuadorian.
Yeah.
This is very much like our scotch pairing.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's 48 by 7 inches. It's a Churchill by Davidoff. So you guys know a little bit more about this cigar than I do. Rooster, I think you...
Rooster knows the most.
Yeah, you know the most on this. So what is the story with this? They work with chefs and...
So basically this is the... if you could call it the third edition of the Chef's Editions. There was the first one that I think came out about, I want to say like at least 7 years ago, 6 to 7 years ago. Then there was the edition number 2, and this is the third Chef's Edition. This is a Churchill, so I think this is the longest Chef's Edition that they came out with. And this cigar was created with four different chefs. And out of the four chefs, three of them have Michelin stars. First chef is Juan Amador from Vienna. Second one is Norbert Niederkofler from Italy. And then Masa Takayama, New York City.
I know Masa.
And Jorge Vallejo from Mexico City. The first of these three chefs have each earned 3 Michelin stars each.
That's pretty incredible.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so it's their, I guess their palate is somehow involved in this and the input in the blend of this particular cigar. And I think there were different chefs who were involved in the first and the second chef's edition steak. So
on the cold draw, the smell, what are you guys getting?
Honestly, not much. Maybe a hint of pepper. I don't know.
I'm getting sushi, pasta, tacos.
Not much on the draw, the cold draw.
It tastes like cedar.
Mm-hmm. Very woody.
Maybe I agree. Not much on the cold draw, but if you smell the wrapper, it's got a sweet, chocolatey,
well, you must
delicious
have a
aroma.
Different one than I have.
You're not getting that?
Oh, you must have the Camacho.
Maybe.
Got the Camacho.
All right, let's light it up, boys.
I'm not getting cardboard notes. I don't have the Camacho.
No hay. Here we go.
So I haven't had one of these. I know the rest of you guys have had one, right?
Let the magic begin.
Everybody else has had one?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's very good on the light.
Wow.
It's actually, I find it to be a unique for Davidoff. And having smoked one of these once before, right on the light, you get like vanilla and cedar. Definite vanilla.
That's very good.
It is good.
And it moves around. It builds up. It'll build.
I've had this before, so I got pepper all the way through. I'm getting it right away.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Yeah. Do you feel it on the back of your tongue?
Yes.
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 So that's where you feel the pepper.
That's exactly right.
So it's a very, I think they call it a linear cigar, when you feel the spice on the back of the tongue.
I feel like it's very well-rounded. Like it's smooth. It has a little spice, a little sweetness, but nothing's kind of trying too hard.
The combustion is fantastic.
Oh, it's great.
And the packaging on this...
Oh, yeah.
We should talk about that a little bit. It's
the presentation's incredible.
It's 10 sticks, and you get a porcelain ashtray with a cover on top, and the cover can be used as a tray, or it's got like indentations for glasses. And
two glasses and your cigar in the middle.
Glasses, cigars, cutter.
The presentation is outstanding.
It's slick, yeah.
It's the best presentation from Davidoff in recent.
No doubt.
It's outstanding.
Something usable, something you would really use.
I mean, I think probably ever. Davidoff, I feel like, of any of the brands, really loves to, the packaging plays such a big role. It's more than just the cigar, but usually a lot of the things that they give you with these sticks are not all that useful. But I was blown away just opening that. It's
That's
like
true.
An experience just to unpackage these cigars.
Yep.
It really is. It's... And it's this cigar, and I don't want to jump ahead. It's a wonderful cigar. I know you haven't smoked at Gizmo, but it's wonderful.
It's wonderful. You've had
right? I'm enjoying it already. It's great.
Is everyone getting right off the bat millennium-like Davidoff flavors?
Definitely.
We're
going to get
to that. I thought of when I lit this cigar. I said, wow, this is like a millennium. But
I'm not sure who said it, but it's like a millennium on steroids.
Yeah.
And it's a great way of putting it.
Yeah. So you're, you know... For those listening, you can find these cigars really anywhere that good Davidoffs are sold, online, in retail stores. And, to your point about the presentation, when these came in, it was like a 15, 20-pound box.
Yeah. Well, the porcelain ashtray.
I was shocked. And then,
when
you open it, what surprised me the most about it is Davidoff generally is a very expensive cigar.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I think it probably ranges from about 30 to 45, depending on where you buy it.
This
per
was
stick.
Pretty reasonable, including that you get.
I got like a discount and stuff. I did like
that. I enjoy
MSRP is 39.
Yeah, so anywhere you're going to find them somewhere around that 40 mark. But to get them in that 10 pack with the ashtray
for that price, that Gizmo sourced. Come on,
it's
a
great.
Come on, it's a good price.
Home run
with the presentation. It is
home run.
It's very nice.
To your point, you really can find these anywhere. I first found this cigar. I was in Baltimore a couple months ago. I've actually never spent any time in Baltimore. It was my first time there, And
I remember the photo.
Baltimore.
My condolences.
Well, I was going to go exactly there. I mean, in fairness to Baltimore, that city gets a bad rap because I was not excited about needing to be in Baltimore for business. But
no offense to those listeners in Baltimore.
No offense, and actually credit, because the waterfront in Baltimore is incredibly beautiful.
Yeah.
We were staying at the Four Seasons there. I finally finished up everything I need to get done work-wise, and I'm wondering if there's a cigar lounge somewhere nearby. No exaggeration, about a 3-4 block walk from the hotel, there's a cigar shop. So I go in there to see what they have. They've got a bunch of Padrones. I was impressed. And then I saw some Davidoffs, and I had picked up a couple sticks I was going to buy. And as soon as I get to the register to pay, I go, whoa, wait a minute. They had the chef's edition. They had just gotten it in. There was only one stick that was purchased at that point. The guy must have got it within the last couple of days. And I actually smoked the first one there. Obviously, we'll talk more about it, but just a very impressive cigar. Mm. And it's got a lot of buzz, I feel like. I mean, as soon as I lit that up in that lounge, guys walking by noticed the stick and said, oh, is that the chef's edition? How is it? Everyone wants to try this cigar.
Wow.
So I think
the dimension is impressive. It's a beautiful cigar. Looks great in your hand, Puba.
Nice oily wrapper.
It's an elegant stick.
Yeah.
You know, all around.
What's interesting, too, about this, when I was reading about it today, you know, prepping for this, is that I don't remember, I don't know if Davidoff usually does this. You know, Rooster may know better, you guys may know better, but they announced that there's a limited amount of boxes, so only 9,500 boxes of this are to be released. So I thought that was interesting, given how pretty available it is.
I didn't know that.
That's not a lot of boxes for worldwide consumption.
Nope.
9,500.
No, not at all. I also have to say, I was thrilled to see that they decided to make this in a Churchill, because the only Davidoff Churchill I've had is the late hour. And I think of any sizes the late hour comes in, the Churchill is by far, for me at least, the best. I think Davidoff makes a hell of a Churchill. So I'm thrilled that they decided to do this for the chef's edition.
Yeah, it's a super, super, super
decent super cigar. Smoke output.
Yeah, great combustion.
Very good.
Great combustion. Mm-hmm.
The draw is very, it's perfect. The draw is perfect.
For me, it's a combination of peppery and creaminess.
It's creamy.
How do you do that?
I don't know. Cedar,
how do you do that? How do you do that?
And there's vanilla in there. And then it gets bigger.
You know,
it's not for the faint of heart.
I get the vanilla and the aftertaste for me. Not right on the draw, but on the aftertaste.
Yeah, it's the finish. Cool. Yeah. And but it is not by any stretch of the imagination a mild cigar. This is not a typical Davidoff in my view.
No way.
Where it's, you know, medium. This is not to me this is a medium full to full.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Completely agree with that. That's why for me, the flavors are Millennium-like, but the Millennium is at its strongest medium full.
I don't think
it ever gets truly full.
Nope.
Where the late hour Churchill, I think, actually gets full.
Yep.
And so to me, it was sort of a hybrid of the strength of the late hour, but the flavor profile of the Millennium.
Mm-hmm.
This cigar has a level of refinement that maybe the late hour doesn't, where the late hour kind of hits you like a where it hits you a little bit like 100%. A 2x4 at some point during the journey of that smoke. I'm talking specifically about the Churchill now, where it you know, not that it's not refined, because it is. It's a sophisticated cigar, and it's unique and it's in how it tastes. But this has a level of complexity, I think, that's worth the premium price. I think that makes it a real standout.
Mm.
It's a real standout.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a level of complexity here that's not in the standard production Davidoffs.
I agree.
For my first time smoking it, I think complexity is the perfect word. To me, this is a more complex Millennium. If I were to sum it up in a short sentence, for me, that's what I'm getting.
And for the listener, this is a group that doesn't love Davidoff. I mean, like, does not love...
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. No, we don't.
I love my Millennium.
We love
Two or three sticks.
That's true. In the production. And that's
it. I think the only sticks that universally the lizards enjoy are the Millennium
and
the Late Hour.
And that's it.
That's it. Everything else Davidoff makes, so, I don't see anyone here regularly smoking or raving about. So no, I think Kuba is exactly
this
right.
Is true.
We're not huge Davidoff fans. And the fact that we're all reacting so strongly to this cigar and saying that we love this,
because I just want to put that out there for folks that it's not like this group loves is a Davidoff fanboy club or not at all, actually quite the opposite. The ones that we just happen to like are the Millennium and the Late Hour. Not that the others are bad. Davidoff makes great cigars overall. They make very good cigars, but many of them are lighter bodied cigars that don't have the complexity, I think, for the palate of this group.
And I think their pricing strategy makes a lot of decisions for us. I mean, if you're going to spend $15-$20 on a stick, it's got to be really great when, you know, we're going to go for a Padron or we're going to go for a great Cuban. I think the way that they price their cigars, if I'm going to reach for a Davidoff and spend that money, it's got to be outstanding.
Mm.
Right.
It's expensive sticks, and this is very, very good.
There was thought put into this, and it's different.
I do have to say that I have, I'm kind of revisiting the Grand Cru series by Davidoff, and especially the Grand Cru Toro. Really enjoyed that stick lately. Got a box of that.
What size is it?
Triple Toro.
Double Toro?
It's a quadruple Toro.
There you go.
Bam's favorite size.
It's funny because the Toro...
My wife complains about that.
The Toro in Millennium is an awful... The Toro in Millennium is, for some reason, consistently awful.
I agree. It doesn't even burn well.
No.
No.
I that's my biggest frustration, is just the construction of the Millennium Toro is off. Something's not right.
Something's not right. Yeah. Because it wasn't even...
You're not
the
even
ones
getting...
that you got for Christmas at the club that will remain nameless that we frequent.
Somewhere in Georgia.
But it's even if you buy singles or a buy... I mean, every one that I've ever had, there's something about them. They just don't burn properly.
Agree. Because of that, I feel like the way it delivers the flavor, it's got a harshness to it that you almost feel in the back of your throat, where when you have the pyramid version of that, it's smooth, it's refined, it's what you'd expect in a Davidoff.
And the Robusto and the Petite Corona are also great in Millennium.
Yeah.
And the Robusto in Late Hour, the Late Hour Robusto is a great cigar.
Agreed.
A really, really great cigar.
Well, let's ask Bam about the Toro Millennium. You're the expert on the Millenniums.
I don't know if I'm an expert, but what's unusual, you won't get the flavor notes in the Toro that you get in a Pyramid. I mean, it's unusual.
I agree with that because to
it's
your
just
point,
so weird.
To it's your, the same blend.
It is.
Yeah.
It doesn't burn the same way.
No, because the ratio is different, right? You're getting less of the wrapper with the Toro and more of the tobacco inside, and it just changes it up. But to Bam's exact point, the only Millennium I ever had for a while was the Toro, and I didn't like it at all. I categorically didn't want to smoke the Millennium series. And it was Bam who said to me, "Have you ever had the Pyramid?" And I said, "No, how different can it be?" So I'm telling you got to try the Pyramid. And ever since I lit one of those up, now it's part of my regular rotation. I always have a few boxes of Pyramid.
And also the Petite Corona, I think, is a fantastic size.
Yeah. It's just so expensive.
Oh, yeah. Thank
but
you.
But it's so good.
But it's so good,
honestly,
though.
That's my one frustration.
It's the money.
Gizmo and I were talking about this lately.
It's almost all flavor.
The Millennium Petite Corona is excellent, but at the price point is ridiculous.
Unless you can get it on that special.
You'll pay $14 at some retailers for that stick. I may as well buy an Exclusivo and just smoke half it and throw the rest out.
Yeah.
Just feels like a better value.
Padron
Robusto.
I know.
Or El Jefe.
El Jefe.
I know. But when when you smoke one, though, man, they are good. They are, I mean, it's a really satisfying cigar, quick cigar. But you feel like you beat the system. You go, wow, that was really a good short smoke. Maybe one of the better short smokes around.
Mm.
They're just, it's painful to buy. it's painful to buy a full box.
Yep.
So the Davidoff story is interesting. I was looking into it a little bit. Obviously, I think they're one of the rare brands that had a very successful existence in Cuba, left Cuba, and then almost 10 years later started the Dominican heavy version of Davidoff and created a really luxury cigar brand, you know?
Very sought after, the pre-embargo Davidoffs, yeah. By the way.
Yeah, Rooster very, has them all in his
very
tower.
Very special sticks. I wish.
Won't ever share.
I sure wish. One day.
Yeah, all Cuban Davidoffs were discontinued in 91.
Well, Zeno Davidoff burned like a huge... He was... I'm not an expert on the brand history of Davidoff. I'm not going to pretend to be, but I know that he did set fire to a significant amount of cigars in the thousands.
Oh.
Because he was so frustrated with the quality of what was coming out of Cuba and at that time. And you'd have to Google that. I'm not a cigar historian, but I know that he it was a big deal. He did it publicly. And certainly the Cuban government wasn't big on that. And he moved on, moved his business on. And then I want to say they went to, I could be wrong. Someone's got to Google this. We need a producer person to Google something. But I want to say they went to, I don't think they went to the Dominican Republic first. I want to say they went to Nicaragua and then got hustled out.
Was it Honduras? The only thing that I'm seeing.
Or Honduras or something. I mean, they didn't wind up in the DR right out of the gate. They had to jump around a little bit, just like Padron had to.
But I'm seeing here, I took some pictures of the Minron ebook today before I came. And what it says is that all Cuban Davidoffs were discontinued in 91. According to a mutual agreement, neither Davidoff nor Cuba Tobacco, who that's the predecessor to Habanos S.A., could offer any Cuban Davidoff for sale after the last day of 1982. Dominican Davidoff started to appear in the market in November 1990. So I guess there was an 8-year swing,
right,
which is probably where he was trying to figure out how to restart the business.
Right. Yeah.
But it's interesting that not only did they, I don't know if it was a mutual parting of ways, but they parted ways and he left with the brand.
Yeah.
You know, most of the other ones, they just kicked the families out. And took them over.
Well, yeah, they just said, we're going to, you can stay here and you can work. You know, the other makers, families who own those businesses fled, which is why going back to the whole subject of how if the embargo was ever lifted, it would be problematic from a trademark perspective here in the U.S., you know, how do you sell Cuban Monte Cristos and Nicaraguan Monte Cristos in the same store? They would have to open up basically La Casa de Habanos retail outlets separate, but it would start all kinds of lawsuits.
Yeah, that would be very challenging once the Cuban market opens up and we start getting Cuban cigars in the U.S. I mean, it would be two different Cohibas.
Right, right. It would be a mess.
Very odd, yeah.
That's why it's never as much as they say, the embargo is going to be lifted. Like, no one wants the embargo lifted. The embargo wouldn't do anything except there'd be a mad rush on supply for Cuban cigars here in the States, and there'd be all kinds of lawsuits and prices would skyrocket. It's the worst thing that could ever happen to Cuban cigars, for the Cuban cigar smoker here in the U.S., it would be a mess. Prices would be through the roof, lawsuits, and a run on supply.
Supply would be horrible, yeah. I mean, there already is right now just because of COVID and everything else going on. So let's dive into this scotch. So Senator picked up this Dalmore single malt.
Dalmore cigar malt. So basically, I figured if we're having the chef's edition, which is supposed to be a full-bodied cigar, almost like a really nice meal, you've got to pair it with something nice. So the only single malt I know of that is designed to be smoked with a cigar is this Dalmore cigar malt. It was apparently discontinued in 2009. They then started using older single malt to make it, which increased the price significantly. It's a really bizarre, I'm actually really glad that Gizmo walked us through the chef's edition, how it's this mix of everything. I mean, Mexico, Honduras, the
Ecuador.
Ecuador. Yeah. And this scotch, 70% of it is aged in Oloroso sherry casks. The remaining 30% is in ex-American bourbon barrels and Cabernet barrels, which is really bizarre. I've never seen that in a scotch before. Right. So it should be interesting.
Yeah. Beautiful
cheers.
Color.
Cheers,
beautiful.
Boys.
Cheers.
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 Cheers. Oh,
very
boy.
Good.
Oh, wow. Boy. That's delicious.
I can see some smiles on a lot of faces.
Wow.
Oh, man. Wow.
That's different.
That's good.
It's very smooth.
No, oh, yeah. No ice permitted.
Is it a lot like the Kirkland scotch?
No.
Not
even close.
No.
We're all drinking this neat, and this is one of the smoothest scotches I've ever had.
Wow. It's quite good. Yeah.
Wow. And it, you know, wonderfully pairs with the chef's edition.
It does.
It's great. I don't know why I expected the cigar malt scotch to be like, eh? Like, well, that was my expectation.
Yeah, when you hear about a scotch that's made for cigars, you kind of question it, right?
Yeah, it's true.
But this is legit.
And it's legit. It's not cheap. How much was it, Senator?
It's $190 a bottle.
Wow.
So I wish you didn't say that they put it in a Cabernet bottle or in a Cabernet barrel.
Because you would have picked that up?
No. I don't know if I would have, but I don't know if I would have or not.
I don't think I would have either.
But I feel like you can. There's a sweetness. Maybe that's from the bourbon barrel. Mm. But there's a sweetness to it that's... But it's balanced. It's not
very.
It's not where. It's not sweet. But there's just a hint of sweetness there. That boy is nice.
I agree.
There's an interesting. And tell me if I'm crazy. I'm
trying
not
to get a note here, but
I'm not a connoisseur. I'm not a connoisseur, but like on the nose, it's very different what I would expect when I taste it.
Yes.
There's a disconnect there.
Agreed.
For me. Not in a bad way. It's just surprising.
It smells like scotch. It's just when you taste it, it doesn't. I mean, it just fucking smells like scotch. But when you taste it,
yeah, it gives pipe down.
I mean, I didn't say it didn't smell like scotch. It's really good.
For me, on the nose, you get like dried fruit,
yep.
Some cinnamon. But when you actually sip it, there's this sweetness that you don't.
Are you getting a maple? Maple?
A little, yeah. Almost like a maple.
I was hesitating in saying that, but I'm getting maple.
And I actually think that when you sip it, you can actually get this strange wine-like taste.
That's what it is. That's really what it is.
Honestly, that's what I was saying. That's exactly where I was going. I'm like, I wish you wouldn't have told me about this Cabernet Blanc because like I'm biased, but it's there.
It is.
I mean, it's no joke there. It tastes a little bit.
It's different. And that
like there's a wine taste to
the
it.
The difference is in that cask. That's what's creating that
And what's
experience.
Crazy is from what I've read, everyone is trying to, the only thing that they publicly release is that 70% of it has been in a sherry cask. They don't tell you the breakdown, but most people have said that they think 10% is in that cab cask. Mm. And it's amazing for only 10% of what's in that bottle to come out of a Cabernet barrel.
Big time.
But you actually get it on the finish.
Yep.
It's very complex.
Yeah, because if you the Balvini, right?
I'm going with a chip. Putting a chip in.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Just to open it up, get a different note.
Yeah. That's aged in sherry casks.
Yeah.
So depending on which one you get.
Well, it's similar to this in that. So the 12 Doublewood is half sherry, half American oak.
But you don't get that note. you don't get that fruit. There's like a that fruit forward
right.
note that's in that. You don't.
Are it's you true. Getting any you notes don't. Of bitter citrus, toffee, custard?
Toffee, I can get.
Caramel.
A little maple, a bit of maple for me.
Buttery mouthfeel.
Buttery, totally. Yes.
Definitely
buttery. Buttery, definitely. Toffee, maple, that's all. That all works.
It's super awesome, dude. This is super delicious
scotch. It's excellent.
It's super
delicious.
And
those are all the notes that I'm getting from my Brooklyn Lager non-alcoholic.
From your phone?
Yeah, it's so super delicious.
I'm not a wine guy. I'm not a wine connoisseur like you guys are. Do you guys enjoy wine with cigars?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
I enjoy wine, like
honestly,
in
so
the
you'll,
shower.
You'll
I'm joking, but I mean, yeah, of course.
No, you're not.
I mean,
so very bizarre that you say that because this will sound strange. I actually first started smoking cigars. For years, primarily drinking wine with cigars more than scotch. Now I drink scotch more with cigars than I do wine. But no exaggeration, when I was out of college, I was living in D.C. And every Sunday, my roommate and I would grill steaks. We'd sit up on our rooftop and I'd have a bottle of wine, a big cigar, a nice steak. And just for me, wine actually pairs fantastically with cigars because you know, cigars, especially the kind of cigars that we smoke, even when I first started smoking cigars, I wasn't smoking Connecticut Shade cigar. I liked fuller flavor. They were shitty cigars now for what I smoke, but they were full flavored. So that can withstand, that holds up against a really rich cab. It holds up against a bold scotch. Mm. So I think it pairs fantastically with a cigar.
Yeah.
And what kind of wine are we talking? Like, what do you go for? Is it a dark red? What are you?
For me, yeah, it's a full-bodied red.
Yeah, Cabernet.
A cab would definitely be the preference, or a red blend that's got some really nice complexity mm-hmm. to it. Like a Bordeaux-style blend.
So we're all about a third of the way through this cigar. What are we? What are you feeling right now?
It's one act so far, right?
Yeah.
A lot of creamy notes.
Agree.
Cedar. Still getting, I think initially I got like more pepper than I'm getting now.
I agree. I feel like it's actually gotten a little sweeter as I'm smoking right. it further along.
That could be from the scotch you just drank.
I got that though even before the scotch. Yeah. It was after like the first inch of ash
it's
I started to pick
that
up.
It's a little less peppery.
Yeah.
It's really nice. It's
elegant.
It's elegant. It's a special occasion cigar. If somehow you could smoke one of these in the same spot that you'd smoke maybe a late hour Churchill after a long where that fits into an evening, where a really nice Churchill fits into an evening. Unfortunately, due to the price point and the availability and everything else, it doesn't fit like that. But I think that this is a cigar for after a meal. After a really great meal, it's what it's designed to do. You know, it's complex. It delivers. It's got power.
Yes.
And there's no bitterness whatsoever.
None.
It's the burn and the draw is very. It's very good.
And no citrus in this either.
All right, so when we get to rating this, Bam's giving it a 2.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's not one of these. It's not one of the fruity cigars like Bam likes.
Would you consider this a one and done cigar for the evening? Does it have a caliber of cigar where you have your dinner, you have your cigar, and you go home?
No.
Yeah, but this is the wrong group to ask that question to.
That's true. Most of society. Sit down and do 7 cigars.
Could it be the last cigar of the evening? Certainly.
Yeah.
It is an after dinner cigar.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I would not want this on an empty stomach.
No.
I'm thinking about too. Like we talked about presentation, 10 cigars, the way it shows up at your door. This is a great gift for a cigar smoker around the holidays.
Absolutely.
You know, your boss, somebody you work with, you know, a friend that smokes cigars, a family, like this is a perfect presentation for the holiday.
It's super duper.
Like I'd be thrilled if somebody gave me a box of these for
But at a dinner party, if you pulled out that ashtray full of 10 of these beautiful sticks, amazing. It's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing that's pleasing to me about it is that it delivers. A lot of these Davidoff releases, quite frankly, aren't that good. Mm. A lot of them are overpriced and don't deliver like this does. So when you throw in the combination of the presentation, which is, I think it's unanimous, even based on other reviews that I've read online about the cigar after smoking the first one, when I received that ashtray and the cigar tray that comes with it, it's fantastic.
I was a little giddy when I got it.
Yeah. You're like, this is really nice. Awesome. And then, so it wasn't that that was just really nice. Then you smoke the cigar and you go, this is really, really, really nice.
Yep.
So I think when you put all those things together, it's a really nice package. And you actually feel like it delivered on value. When with some of these other releases, like the year of the Ox and some of these other, that big, huge ring gauge cigar that came out last year, and some of these other releases, and even some of the other quote unquote hyped up marketing cigars like the Royal and some of this other stuff, they don't live up to the price tag. And this does.
Yeah.
This delivers. This does. Is worth its value. It delivers on price, on the experience, the presentation, which for me is a pleasant surprise for what Davidoff has done in the past, which some of these releases have not blown my hair back. This kind of did.
Here's a question.
Am I wrong, or are you guys? I'm pleased.
Absolutely.
With it. I'm
right behind you, 100% with you. Here's a question. Would any of you put this ahead of the late hour, Churchill?
I think it depends on what you're looking for at any given moment.
Like, I think it's more refined, a little bit more
I think smooth, so too.
It's smoother than the late hour.
I think so too.
Late hour has like this, I don't know if you're, you know, lack of a better word, like a little edginess to
There's
it.
There's a bite.
I agree with that.
There's a bite to it. And this is like very complex,
absolutely.
Very smooth.
So now, with all that said, would you put it ahead the late hour?
Yeah, so to me, it's a very easy answer. Absolutely.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I would put this ahead of the Millennium.
Thank you.
To me,
yep.
Absolutely.
This is as good of a Davidoff
as I've ever had. Ever.
Right.
Ever.
I mean, it's
agreed.
Almost no contest.
Agreed.
And then the question is just where do you rank after that, the Millennium or the late hour?
But again, this is also a limited production.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Late hour, you're going to get that.
It's a standard
you'll
production
have it all
cigar.
The time.
Yeah.
Millennium is a standard production. So this is a special stick. It's here and gone.
This is true.
You know, so.
My feelings about the late hour, it's just that really holds a special place in my heart. Like, you're a few scotches deep, a few cigars deep. That really just, to me, it just buttons up the night. You know, and I think about how many times we've all smoked those outside around a fire, you know, whatever it may be. Like, it's just a great cigar. So I guess I just attach my memory to that.
No, I agree with that. And I actually think it's one of the best cigars that to pair with scotch. And it's not a coincidence that obviously that the late hour is aged. The tobacco is actually aged in X single malt barrels. So they're trying to impart some of that flavor, but just when you pair that with a Macallan, I mean, it's incredible in a way that obviously you'll enjoy a Millennium with a Scotch, but for me, the late hour is the perfect cigar pair with a single malt. And this, I would put right up there with that.
Yes. And not to go on and on, but yes, this is a better cigar. It's a more complex cigar. It's delivering in the power department.
Oh yeah,
it's but in a good way.
Mm-hmm. It's a flavor bomb.
In a good way, yes. It's a full,
a lot of flavor.
It's full, and it's full. And it's good. You know, there's no doubt about it. It's a relaxing cigar. You feel good about it.
What are your thoughts, Giz?
I think it's fantastic. I think it's very elegant. I'm like your point. I'm very relaxed. I think it's pairing well with the scotch.
I want more of them.
This is a slam dunk.
I agree. And I think the biggest thing.
I want fucking more of these.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think the biggest thing, you know, I'm critical of Davidoff because price point does matter, right? We can pretend it doesn't, but no one wants to feel like they're paying and not getting the same value in return. And with so many Davidoffs, I feel like that's the case. You're spending a lot of money for a stick and you're not getting back nearly what you paid for. And this is one of the few cigars, and I'm saying this to anyone out there who is skeptical of spending $35, $40 on a stick. This is one of the few Davidoffs that is special enough that I actually think warrants that price tag for the limited release, because there are a lot of limited release cigars they put out that are $40 a stick that I've bought. And I sit there and say, there's no way I would ever pay this again for that stick.
No way.
Right.
No way. Absolutely. There's stuff that we've picked up as singles that are limited releases, picked up multiple singles and said, this, no way. No way. This is not a $40 cigar.
Yep.
This is.
Agreed.
So what do they do? Every year they do a year of the ox, year of the rabbit on the Chinese calendar,
monkey.
Right? And then they also do they do one LE a year or multiple?
One.
They do one LE with the year on it, right? What? So it's a 2021 LE?
Yeah.
So where would you put, given your, I haven't smoked most of those.
Neither have I.
So I know that you guys have. I don't know if Puba has, but
we have.
This you is guys
better.
Have.
This is definitely better.
Where would you rank those, though? Would you say the LEs are generally better? The year of those are better?
It depends on the year. You know, the last one was the year of the ox, which came in like a 50 ring gauge and a 60 ring gauge. I didn't have the 50. I had the 60 ring gauge.
That's a big cigar.
It was a good cigar. But not quite like this. Wasn't as complex.
Yeah, not even close.
And not deserving of its price point, if we're right. being honest. I mean, I'm sorry. That Year of the Ox, I had that cigar. I had a couple of those. The smoke output is tremendous. I enjoyed sitting back and just being a chimney for an evening. But I think that cigar was $45 I spent on it. It's not worth $45.
No,
I'm sorry.
No.
It's a beautiful bar.
It's much better.
No, and it's
box,
not.
Yes.
You're right. And this is like, to me, I feel like this Chef's Edition Churchill is a cigar that is meant to be smoked with others. It's meant to be smoked together. It's meant to be shared together. Mm. It makes you. It's not something that I would smoke by myself, on my deck, or in a lounge by myself. This is a celebratory stick. It's a It feels that way. It delivers in that way.
It looks that way.
Looks that way. It's very. It tastes. This is a celebratory cigar. This is a cigar that you sit down. Everybody lights one up, and you have it together. And what more can you ask for out of a stick? I think that that's as much as you can ask for. If we were to go up to that hotel and all the wherever and go away and sit around a fire, or like we're doing tonight, this is the type of cigar. Hey, let's all light one up.
Totally agree.
Now let me ask you a question. Let's say you're sitting with a group that there's some guys there that don't smoke cigars like you, like we do, or like would you share this with
no.
an amateur
those
smoker?
Those are frustrating.
Way.
Those
no
are frustrating moments,
way.
By the way.
Yeah,
never.
No.
You have sticks for them.
That's in the guest humidor.
The problem is,
it's called Camacho.
They see you're smoking something else.
Yeah, yeah.
And they get bent out of shape, and eventually end up giving them one, and they don't understand it. They smoke too quickly. I notice guys going through cigars very, very quickly. Now, I'm a fast smoker, but I take my time, I think.
We would disagree with
I
that.
I know you do.
You blow through cigars.
But I make love to a cigar. I make love to this cigar. I take my time.
To everything.
You're putting the ball on the tee right now for Puba.
I can tell.
The ball is hit it out of the park.
You just put the ball on the tee.
All right, Puba, go.
Base is loaded.
You'd make love to a catcher's mitt.
In high school, I have.
Isn't that called conditioning the mitt?
Yeah.
He could do a small scale production batch of mitt
rolling
conditioning.
Rolling mitts. Put me on the end of the conveyor belt.
That's right. God. That's right. Well, I think we can all agree this is nice.
I will say, though, so I hear a lot of guys, we've talked about this, and I hear some guys say, oh, you know, well, you've got cigars for those kind of guys that you give out. And I have to say, first of all, I have a hard time wanting to stock like shit I don't like to smoke.
Right.
What's in my humidor, every single thing in there I would smoke. And what I will say is, obviously, I have plenty of friends who don't know anything about cigars, but they're interested, right? They'll occasionally smoke a cigar. What I do love, would I give this as the first cigar to someone who's a novice? No way. Exactly. It's a very strong cigar. But what I will say is, you know, I have a few friends that I've had come by this past year who don't smoke very often, and I've given Padrones that they've really, really enjoyed. And they're just ripping through these cigars. I mean, these are guys who smoke like one cigar and that's it. They're done for the day. And they're ripping through these Padrones. And I'm sitting there saying, holy shit, they're like, this whole box is about to like be gone. So I'm pulling out something that I don't necessarily reach for all the time. And I'm like, you know, they'll probably enjoy them. And what's amazing when you introduce people, and just like us, when you introduce them to good cigars, I'll never forget. After I had a whole box of Padrones out, everyone's smoking Exclusivos, loving these. Can I have another? Can I have another? And I pulled out a box of Oliva Milanios.
Uh-oh.
And literally, I had one of my friends say to me, he goes, this is not as good as the other cigars you were giving us. What is this? And I was sitting there he's only had these this day, and he's instantly picked up on the difference between a Padrone and an Oliva. They're very different. They're not in the same category or class any day of the week. No. So I do think people's ability, their palate's ability to learn and adjust happens pretty quickly.
Oh, it certainly does.
Remember when you gave me my first Exclusivo at the lounge, how quickly my palate changed. I literally went downstairs, returned everything I had purchased 10 minutes before, and bought all Padrones.
It's true. I'll never forget. Giz, you know, literally looks at me and said, thank you so much. This is incredible. And he goes, the problem is, everything I just bought downstairs, I don't want after having a cigar. And I said, don't worry about it. Just go down and tell me you want to exchange it all. And he literally did that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's what ends up happening with the Cuban Vortex. You know, you smoke a D4, then you end up, you smoke a Monte Cristo number two, and a good one if you find a good one. And you end up going down and you're saying, my God, who could believe that this world is wide open? And that opens up a whole new world to in my opinion, the best of the best. I mean, there's Padrone, there's Davidoff, and there's Habanos SA and everything else. It's hard to top that. I mean,
only Grinder were here, he would add Plasencia, but
I would say that, you know, for a novice to give this cigar would, you know,
it's too much.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, you really want to go through the Davidoff line. You start off with the 1000 series, the 2000 series, and then move up to the Grand Cru, then the Millennium, and then the Special Edition. This is a full-flavored cigar.
It's a big cigar.
Yeah, but I would also argue if you have friends like mine that have gotten hooked on Padrones, you'd start them at a Millennium.
Oh, yeah.
And then, honestly, this next, because a late hour, I think Rooster was very accurate when he said there's an edginess to the late hour, which if you smoke a lot of cigars and you like full flavor, you want that edge sometimes. But for a novice cigar smoker, that's going to be a big leap.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is right in between a Millennium and a late hour.
Yep.
Yeah. It's more complex. It's full bodied, but it has a complexity that neither the Millennium or the late hour has that is unique all unto itself.
Right.
It's like no other Davidoff that I've had. And kudos to the folks who blended this. It's a special occasion cigar. And I want more of them. I may wind up with three ceramic ashtrays. because they are good. I mean, they're really good. Not one touch up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not one
in the whole room.
Touch up
in the whole room. In the whole room.
Not one time. You haven't heard one click.
It's a great post Thanksgiving meal cigar.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Crisp bottom day. Oh.
Fuck, man.
Oh yeah. Man.
They did a good job.
And I just love a Churchill.
Same here.
When you get a great Churchill, there's nothing better than a great Churchill.
I'm so glad you said that. I've said this 1,000 times. The late hour Churchill in your hand, just like this cigar, nothing feels better to smoke. Just in your hand. It's the perfect ring gauge. The smoke output is still great. You can just smoke this for, you know, you can watch a football game. You can spend a lot of time doing something and just enjoy that cigar. Churchill is a legendary.
It's fantastic. Yeah, it is. And it's power. You feel powerful. Just the way you can hold it, with four fingers, you feel powerful. It feels good. If lighting a Churchill's, and cigars are about time.
Time spent beautifully?
Time beautifully filled.
That's what it
Davidoff's.
Is
that Davidoff's?
Right, Davidoff's tagline, right. Time beautifully filled,
right? But so when you light a Churchill too, you're also in a mindset. You're in a mindset of, you sit down and you're saying, this is a time investment.
Yeah.
And so you're also, you know, there's a mindset to lighting a Churchill because you've got the time. You've thought about it, planned it, or it just happened to fall upon you. But regardless, you're there, and you know when you light it up, that you're in the zone. And I think that plays into it. You know, you light up a Robusto. You know, you could be driving somewhere. You could be, you know, hey, I got 40 minutes. I'm gonna get a smoke in. You're in the zone and you're ready. You're prepared for the delivery of it too. So I think the mindset that you're in when you smoke one plays into it. It's important. And I'm ready. When you light one of these up, it's a shape like this. You're ready. You're saying to yourself, I'm all in.
And I think that goes to the point about price too. Like, you know, somebody asked, my brother actually asked me the other day, so why the hell would you spend $35-$40 on a cigar? And to me, it's like, all right, if I can get 90 minutes or 2 hours, even if I'm smoking slowly, of just absolute relaxation and enjoyment, where else can you get that kind of time for $30 or $40?
Yeah.
No, you're exactly right.
Great point.
And you think about it, I've had.
Well,
guys,
I don't know. I don't know. Ask around.
Bam.
Not for $40.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you.
Unless you're getting a foot massage.
Depends on the company.
But Gizmo, to your point, I mean, I've had friends of mine who are, they would call themselves novice cigar smokers, and they would say, oh, you know, if I would normally spend $10-$15 on a cigar, I'm not going to spend much more than that. And they're buying Robustos. You think of a Churchill, I mean, it's basically almost two Robustos.
Yeah.
And a late hour, for instance, is $25.
Yeah.
It's actually a phenomenal value for that stick.
Yep.
Even this at 30-something bucks, it's two Robustos.
Right.
It's well worth it.
Right. So you're saying they could cut it in half and smoke the other half later?
Well, Gizmo already cut it in half.
I knew that was coming.
What?
I knew that was coming.
What? No. No, Gizmo. Say it ain't
so. If we were on a desert island, we'd cut them in half.
He's criticizing how I used to cut my cigars before I got my new cutter.
Yeah, you practically cut them in half.
Used to.
Okay. Used to.
Education never ends.
I'm going to go smoke outside. You guys want to give it the formal lizard rating? You guys ready?
Yep. I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Poobah, what do you got?
Well, I'll have to round up and give it a 9.
All right.
Got a 9. I am also going to give it a 9.
I'm in the exact same camp. Easily a 9.
For me, it's a 10.
Oh, Rooster. Awesome. High praise. Yeah. I love that.
9. Now, I put a Millennium at 9 as well.
Okay.
So it's a much different cigar for me, but I get a different type of appreciation for this cigar than I would a Millennium, but I happen to love both. So for me, from the point of view of the love of the cigar, that's a 9 for me.
The official Lizard score across all of us is a 9.2.
That's
very high praise.
Very strong recommend.
Yeah.
And you know, I respect Roosters 10 because out of everybody here, he certainly is currently smoking the most Davidoffs.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm giving it a 10, not just for the cigar. Yes, for the cigar, but also the packaging and everything else that is part of it.
And the name of the scotch again?
Dalmore.
It's the Dalmore Cigar Malt. Yeah.
Very good.
Very good. It's a perfect pairing.
Dalmore, it really is. With this stick.
Dalmore nice. Cigar, I'm glad cigar to
hear
malt.
It. I'm glad to hear it because it was a risk. So the irony, yeah. I've only had... How many guys have had Dalmore?
We talked about it.
We did. Right? How many guys have had Dalmore before?
Never.
Never.
Never. Never. Never. You never. Had any Dalmore? All right. So I'm the only one that's tried Dalmore. And I've always looked at this bottle. And Rooster and I were just talking about this the other night. I mean, to have designed a scotch with the intent to smoke it with a cigar, I've been curious. And I thought maybe it's just a marketing gimmick. And I said, you know what? What a better time to try it than now. We might as well.
Yeah. Very thoughtful, Senator.
Chef's Edition 2021, boys. 9.2.
Fantastic.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Keep smoking.
Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. If you have any comments, questions, if you want to reach out, say hello, tell us what you're smoking, email us, loungelizardspod@gmail.com. Really appreciate your time, and we'll see you next week.